Regardless of the outcome on Saturday, this needs to be the final stand for Trent Bray at Oregon State. Yes, welcome on into the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Rao. Let's get on into it. We're going to talk Oregon State, Fresno State, and we're going to dive a little Boise State Air Force on this episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe. We are bringing you the new Pac-12 every single day right on this channel, the Pac-12 Daily. The Civil War is this weekend, and it's the biggest story in the Pac-12. There's no doubt about it. When it comes to Oregon, Oregon State, there's the Apple Cup too. We're going to get into the Apple Cup on tomorrow's episode, but we had to get to this one first. And the reason behind it is because Trent Bray is easily on the hot seat. There's no doubt about it. And I think that no matter the outcome, unless there is one specific thing, we'll get to that in just a second, Trent Bray has to go. I think this has to be the final stand. Let him have this rivalry game as a former player, as someone who did great for you as a defensive coordinator. But afterwards, you got to move on. It's because of some of the recent firings that have happened in college football, UCLA, Virginia Tech, some of the reasons. And of course, just the fact of the new direction of college athletics, you have to get an early start on making sure you're ready to go for next season, which is going to be the new Pac-12 starting in July of 2026. When you look at Trent Bray so far, his season, his coaching career at Oregon State, 5-10 as a head coach, was 5-7 last year, 0-3 so far this season, with a loss to Cal, 34-15. We know how that went. The Fresno State game was just a bunch of complete bonehead mistakes. It sounded like, and you could really feel it, you know, from his halftime speech at throwing the F-bomb to everything going on in that game, that he had the conversation of could he have lost the locker room. And then, of course, the Texas Tech game just this last week, losing 45-14. They didn't break the shutout until it was 45-0. And then they got a couple garbage time touchdowns. It was a 2.5-hour weather delay, but all it did was just delay the inevitable of Oregon State losing that football game. So they're 0-3. Now they have to go to Eugene to take on Oregon, who is arguably the hottest team in college football right now. This game's going to be on 12 noon Pacific time on Big Ten Network. At least it's not a national televised game. But this is a team that has destroyed Oklahoma State in the past. And you might be able to say, and I've seen it in a couple comments, there's no shame in losing to Oregon. Maybe if you're not the in-state rival, maybe if you're not playing in the Civil War, I might agree with you, but that's not the case. You might assume that you're going to lose this game, and many do. Of course, FanDuel actually has Oregon as a 35.5-point favorite for this football game. What does Trent Bray have to do to save his job after this one? You go right into Houston the next week. There's probably a better advantageous spot for you to actually move on from a coach during a bye week or something else. But when you look at the firings at Virginia Tech, when you look at the firings at UCLA, you have to think that you have to make a move right away. There are plenty of coaches' names in the search that are going to be the exact same coaches that you're going to try and look after compared to the UCLA coaching job. Maybe some as well on the Virginia Tech side, but when you think of the West Coast, of course, UCLA is going to pop up at first, although they're in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Crazy stuff, I know. Never going to change that, how weird that is to me. But when you're looking at USC's defensive coordinator, when you're looking at both coordinators from Oregon, including Will Stein, who I think is going to be one of the top candidates in coaching this coming season if he decides to go to Oregon State or some other place, UCLA, you name it. There's going to be a couple other openings as well. Look, I've seen this in the comments, and I agree with you as well. Will Stein is probably not going to Oregon State. He probably has a plenty of other great opportunities he can go to. Why would you want to go to a place like Oregon State that's suffering right now? However, when you look at some of these job opportunities that are popping up, and you talk about Ed Orgeron, you talk about Pat Fitzgerald, of the former Northwestern coach, trying to find an identity is going to be key. Because right now, Trent Bray, you think the identity of this Oregon State team, this program, should be all defense, with him being the head coach and the defensive coordinator, him getting the promotion after being one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the program history at that moment. But since then, and so far this season, he has been dreadful when it has come to defensive just statistics in general. Total defense, 111th in the country, allowing 424 yards per game. To put that in perspective, UCLA and Virginia Tech, the teams that have fired their coaches already, 117th in the country and 124th in the country, respectfully. So he's just above that mark of the coaches that have already been fired in total defense. And this is the identity that you think that Trent Bray is trying to live and put his resume on. It's just not there, and it needs to get fixed. There's no doubt about it. Rushing defense, of course, not good as well. We're seeing a lot of issues when it comes to stopping the rush. 93rd in rushing defense, 117th against the pass, and they can't get the pressure as well to slow this down. 123rd in the country in sacks per game. This is a based on average per game when it comes to that statistics. And of course, we all know the bonehead mistakes that this team has made when it comes to making the turnovers. I'm surprised actually that this is a little higher than expected. It's 107th in the country. I thought this was going to be towards the 120s or maybe even the 130s when it came to the turnover margin. But either way, when you talk about the Trent Bray, 5-10 as a head coach, it's got to change. And I think no matter of the outcome, I mean, you're a 35.5 point underdog in this game. If you win this football game, I don't think that saves Trent Bray's job necessarily. Now, if you just completely turn it around and show that you're the Oregon State team that they were hoping they're going to be this entire offseason, Malik Murphy throws for 500 yards, no mistakes, the team is completely backed behind him, and you can feel a difference, maybe he gets another week against Houston. But as we have seen in the past, so far this season from Oregon State, they have lost football games because of their own mistakes. The lack of execution, the lack of discipline, and dare I say, the lack of talent on this football team. If Oregon finds a way to make this game close because of their own mistakes, and let's say it's only a, let's just say a crazy number, 21-7 final, you cover the spread, you don't lose by a lot, but the reasons behind it is because Oregon does it to themselves, I don't think that saves Trent Bray's job. I don't think it should. Will it? That's a completely different story. We'll see what the administration, the athletic director decides to do, but I don't think it should. I think you have to make a move quicker than necessary now because of the firings at UCLA, because of the firings at Virginia Tech, and maybe you wanted to wait until one of your open bye weeks. Maybe you didn't want to do it during this stretch, but after this loss, assuming you lose this game to Oregon, Trent Bray will be 5-11 as a head coach for the Beavers. Appreciate you being a linebacker for this school in the early to mid 2000s. Appreciate what you did as a defensive coordinator. And I think you're a heck of a guy, but you have to make a change in this world of college athletics, the NIL, the transfer portal, you name it, especially with what's happening in the new updated rules with the transfer portal, most likely moving to one only window at the beginning of the year. You got to make sure your coaching staff is ready to go before that portal window hits. You can't be chasing coaching staffs around and trying to get that taken care of and then trying to hit the portal at the same time. It just won't work. You'll fall behind, and that's something where you can fall behind not only for 1 year, but for multiple years to come. Taking and moving and getting rid of Trent Bray, if that's the decision you're willing to take and you think it's the decision now, it's not going to change after a loss to Oregon. It's not going to change after a potential close game to Houston. You got to make the decision quick. You got to make that decision most likely right after this game against Oregon in the Civil War. And then you have to go find your new coaching staff to make sure you are ready to be one of the top teams in this new Pac-12 starting next season. The confidence that Fresno State got after their demanding win against Southern this past weekend could mean huge things for them when they head into Mountain West play this coming week, starting off the game at Hawaii. There's so much to be excited for Fresno State right now. Being 3-1 on the season after losing to KU at the beginning of the year, you might have thought that there was going to be a slow start for this new coaching staff, but that's not the case. That's not the case for Fresno State at all. After beating Georgia Southern in what was a game that many didn't agree with the spread, Georgia Southern kind of threw a burger down and they took care of business 42-14, especially in that second half. Then, as we mentioned in the first segment of today's show, what they took care of Oregon State with. They let Oregon State stick around. That wasn't the best game by Fresno State by any means, but they got the job done. An ugly win is still a win when you're looking at the records at the end of the season. And then what they did against FCS Southern this past weekend, 56-7. The score is not the biggest thing to have confidence on. It's EJ Warner. I have gone on this show in the past and said EJ Warner is the biggest liability to Fresno State. And although I still might actually agree with that, because he is probably still the liability, he's got to still prove it to me against FBS opponents. He'll have a chance to do that on the road in Hawaii this weekend and in the late slate. If you're going to stay up and be a college football sicko, you can watch that one, a one-on-one midnight Eastern time, true Pac-12 after dark kind of conversation here. But EJ Warner finally threw a touchdown pass. And not only did he throw one touchdown pass, he threw four against Southern. He was electric. He had a great game against FCS opponent Southern and threw for 240 yards as well. 20 for 24 on his completions. It was an all-around great performance by EJ Warner. Now, can he translate that and move it to Mountain West competition? I think he can. And going against Hawaii, I would say probably middle of the pack in the Mountain West this year. What a perfect time to show that you can take that next step forward and continue that confidence, continue that momentum for a team that's 3-1 in the first year for Matt Entz. I really like where they're at the moment. This team screams an easy bowl team if they continue this trajectory. The running game has been fantastic. Rashawn Luke, Donaldson as well. There's a lot of really great things going on with this offensive unit. If they can take care of Hawaii, they move to 4-1 on the season. Then you have Nevada, Colorado State, who has been struggling this year. San Diego State, who we need to talk about, might potentially be on the hot seat with his coach as well. Boise State, Wyoming, Utah State, San Jose State. This is at least a 6-win team. I mean, a pretty easy over on the 6 wins. If they can continue to get the performance from EJ Warner and the running game stepping up. I really like what I saw from them against Southern. And of course, you can take what you will because it is an FCS opponent, right? I get that. Southern's only been 1-3 on the year, but they've had 507 total yards. The offense was humming. This is a great feeling. And it was even 282 yards passing, 225 yards on the ground. They didn't have a lot of penalties. They had controlled the time of possession. Everything went well for Fresno State. Now, Hawaii has had their moments so far this season. So this is a true piece of competition. Hawaii beat Stanford at the beginning of the season. They've also been embarrassed by Arizona. So Fresno State needs to get themselves in that Arizona category and make a statement win on the road in the Hawaiian Islands and take care of the Rainbow Warriors. I think they can do it. I think they absolutely can do it. The biggest question is, what kind of EJ Warner will show up? Will it be an EJ Warner that throws 4 touchdowns, or will it be an EJ Warner that throws under pressure, makes some mistakes, and gets some interceptions and makes this game a lot closer than it should be? That's the biggest question that we need from Fresno State in this one. But looking at the rest of the roster, of course, I want to talk about this running game because the running back game is what has carried this Fresno State team this entire season so far. It is truly their identity, and what a great identity to have. Being successful on the run game, it just opens up everything else, and that's exactly what you need if you're a team like Fresno State. Donaldson has been absolutely electric. Bryson Donaldson, what he has done so far this season, 50 carries, 325 yards, averaging 6.5 yards per carry, but right behind him is Rashawn Luke. I mean, talking about being Arizona, coming over from Arizona, Rashawn Luke has been electric as, dare I say, a running back 1B. I don't even think he's the second string running back. You got a 1A and 1B on your team going for 224 yards on only 36 carries, right up there with the 6 yards per carry average, just like Donaldson. You have two guys that are averaging over 6 yards a pop. That is electric. That alone will win you football games. And then add the EJ Warner, hopefully confidence, hopefully not having those turnovers, and you are in a great position to not only get yourself to a bowl game under the first year of this new coaching staff, but to potentially get yourself competing for a Mountain West title and maybe even find yourself battling for a college football playoff position. I don't know if I want to go that far yet. I think they're still a year or maybe 2 years behind on that potential, but still, you are overachieving in the best ways when it comes to this offense. And Elijah Gilliam is another great piece on this running back unit. He's only got 100 yards on the season, but every time he touches the ball, he does great things too. Again, almost averaging 6 yards a carry. This running back room is doing exactly what they need to do to bring the identity. Identity is the buzzword going around college football right now. For teams that are not succeeding and for teams that are succeeding, you can tell the difference on how it is, and it all is about identity. teams that have found their identity, especially some of these early building teams with new coaching staffs inside the program, if they can find their identity early, they're seeing early success. You're not seeing with Oregon State, but you're seeing it with Fresno State. You're not seeing it with Wazoo, but you're seeing it with Fresno State. And that's something huge that they can continue to carry on, hopefully if they can continue and keep that roster retention for the new season next year in the Pac-12. I like where Fresno State's at. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch the rest of the season. Their schedule actually is pretty good as well, with the exception of playing Boise State, because, well, Boise State's beatable, but with the exception of playing Boise State and maybe actually Utah State as well, I think they can do really well. I think they could potentially run the table with the exception of those two games. This could easily be a team that goes 9-3 at the end of the season. And that would be a great place to hang your hat heading into the new Pac-12 next season. Lots of excitement for Fresno State, for EJ Warner, Donaldson, Matt Entz, you name it. A lot of good stuff for the Bulldogs heading forward this season. Has the narrative changed for Boise State after not playing at all last week? Well, that's actually what I want to dig into in this final segment here on the Pac-12 Daily. Again, hit that subscribe button. We are gaining new members every single day, talking about the new Pac-12 that's going to be here in July of 2026. I'm just not waiting around. I want to discuss it today, tomorrow, every single day until we get to that moment and then beyond as well. We're going to be here and then be the hopefully the one listen you watch for Pac-12 conversations. But after losing to South Florida at the beginning of the season, we thought maybe already the college football playoff opportunity for Boise State might be out the window. Then they have a nice statement win against FCS Eastern Washington, 51-14, and they take a week off. While they were sitting and recovering and probably watching college football, Notre Dame moves to 0-2 on the season. And although they still might be ranked at the moment, ranked 24th in the country, according to the AP, which I disagree with completely. If you're 0-2, you should not be ranked. That's for a different conversation. But after that, you look at the rest of Boise State's schedule and you think there is still truly a strong possibility that although they've lost to South Florida, that they can still find a way to go to 11-1. Notre Dame is easily a beatable team this year for Boise State if they can get back on the wagon, something like they did against Eastern Washington, but of course against a team that was in the national championship last season. They did lose this game to Texas A&M, Notre Dame did, on a last-minute play. It was an offensive touchdown by Texas A&M to give them the win 41-40. So it's not like Notre Dame is a terrible team. They're just not the same team they were last year. Boise State can totally capitalize on that and find themselves, hopefully, 11-1, get themselves back in the conversation, winning their conference, and getting back in the college football playoffs for the second year in a row as that G5 participant, as the one being for the G5 champion, if you will. They got Air Force First on the road this weekend to take care of. That one's going to be at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Central on CBS Sports Network. You can check that game out. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think this is a true test for Boise State to show if they can be more like the game against Eastern Washington, or more like, are they going to be more like South Florida's game, which of course you don't want to see. Air Force showed some life against Utah State last week. They wound up losing that game, but they showed some life. And that alone, I think, needs to show that Boise State, this is a perfect moment for Boise State to make a statement win. Mattson has to be electric. Maddox Mattson has to be electric. The junior quarterback has to make sure he has no bonehead mistakes. He has to be able to throw the football. He has to do what he didn't do against South Florida. And because South Florida, he wasn't the best. And although his numbers might look decent, and they're not really decent, but although they looked okay, it's got to be good. Against South Florida, he was 25-46, threw the football way too many times, but they had to, being down 34-7, and 225 yards, 54% on that completion, only threw one touchdown. You know, the ratings might look good, but if you watch the football game, he just wasn't exactly what you needed to win that football game. Had a lot of mistakes throwing the football, some underthrows, overthrows. He's got to be accurate. He's got to make sure he moves that Boise State offense, because when there's no Ashton Genty here, although the running backs are good, and we'll talk about in just a second, but no Ashton Genty, Maddox is the one that's going to move this offense. It goes through him. It goes back to the old traditional style of the quarterback moving the offense, and there's no doubt about it in my mind. Against Eastern Washington, he only went 16-26, but went for 307. And had 61% completions, threw two touchdowns, averaged almost 12 yards a completion. That is where he needs to live. He needs to take that from FCS Eastern Washington, and he needs to perform against Air Force. I think that's a perfect opportunity. Again, another stepping stone in the confidence of Boise State, a perfect time to do so this Saturday. When you look at the running game, it's got to continue to go through Sire Gaines. It's got to continue to go through guys like Dylan Riley as well, who stepped up in some of these games. Sherrod, there's a lot of really good pieces of this running back room. Boise State and Fresno State, I think we're going to start having a conversation on who's one of the best running back rooms in the new Pac-12. And those two are definitely the front runners in my mind. Sire Gaines has 23 carries for 142 yards, and Riley has 143 yards on 13 carries. Both of them averaging at least 6 yards per carry. Riley averaging 11 yards per carry after having that 77-yard rush just last week against Eastern Washington. A lot of excitement for this Boise State offense. Can they step up and win against Air Force? That's going to be a big question. I think they take care of business. I think they make a statement, and hopefully they're not looking too farther into the Notre Dame game, because I think it'd be really easy to overlook a team like Air Force. I think it'd be really easy to overlook other teams like Appalachian State. They have to play next week before they get to that October 4th matchup in Notre Dame on Peacock. Well, a national televised game to prove that there are still a team that needs to be reckoned with after that loss against South Florida at the beginning of the season. They can't overlook it. Although Notre Dame's 0-2 and they're staring right in the face, they're probably salivating at the fact they want to get to Notre Dame and make sure before they get right. There might be a perfect opportunity, perfect time to take on Notre Dame, because they might not be ready. The adjustments might not be there yet. Maybe you want to even play them next week, but you can't. That's not how the schedule works. October 4th is obviously the matchup to make sure you can get yourself back into the college football playoff conversation. But you got two games to worry about first. You got to be in 3-1 heading into that Notre Dame game. If you're anything less, then that game doesn't matter regardless if you want to get to the college football playoffs. Lots of exciting stuff happening in the Pac-12 this week. We got a lot more to cover on the channel. We're going to get to that tomorrow. We're going to talk the Apple Cup. A lot of good fun things to talk about in the Apple Cup. San Diego State. Should we be talking about potentially another hot seat alert already in San Diego? Like, is that something that needs to be discussed? And I think we're going to talk a little Utah State, because Utah State has been buzzing. We got a lot more to talk about here to get into the weekend. We're going to do that. So hit that subscribe button. Be sure to join the conversation here. And we'll see you back next time right here on the Pac-12 Daily Podcast.